It's the it's doing that again, isn't it? It's the Gadget Grill live at Woodstock in what year was it?
69.
It's the Gadget Grill live at Woodstock here in our Magic Time Machine in the special Woodstock themed edition of the Gadget Grill. My name is a groovy Lee Stark.
I'm Gary Stark. Welcome to the Gadget Grill. Good evening, everybody. How are you this evening, Lee?
Kind of trippy. This time machine has less space than I expected.
I love the tie-dye t-shirt that your mum gave you that you're wearing.
I think it was my mum, because I think I can see you.
You can't remember.
I don't even have a clue anymore. I mean, I would never wear something like this had I the choice, but apparently
at least you're not wearing flares.
I think I am, but I think they're actually on fire. Welcome to the Gadget Grill. We have Lee and Gary Stark, and tonight we are talking about the good old days.
Well, not so much the good old days. We're going to have a look at how technology has progressed
Music technology specifically.
In the days since 1969 when Woodstock and the like was rampant, shall we say.
Because this weekend is very special.
For me, it's very special. Woodstock figures...
It's your birthday, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Oh, it's
Woodstock
not that
figures
special, then.
Very strongly in my life. We're actually broadcasting from the Woodstock building in Burwood.
Really?
We are.
Wow, that was unexpected.
It is the 40th anniversary of the Woodstock Pop Festival in New York State in America.
Mm-hmm.
My best ever friend...
You have friends.
My best
you
ever...
You have friends.
My best ever friend was my Labrador...
Oh, that, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and we got him, I think, about 1975.
You're not going to cry, are you?
I'm not going to cry, no, okay. But he was a beautiful dog. His name was?
Woodstock.
Woodstock.
And, of course, the peanut stuff, Woodstock.
Yes.
Yep.
So I couldn't find my Woodstock cup at home today.
You have a Woodstock cup?
I have a Woodstock cup. Remember, it was given to me by the people in...
Why would I remember that? I can't even remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday, if I ate breakfast
you
at all.
Why
would
I... You didn't have breakfast yesterday.
It's not the point, okay?
Okay.
Anyway, this is our Woodstock theme show, and for once, the music hasn't been programmed by me. It's been programmed by the person opposite me, Mr. Gary Stark, because I know nothing about Woodstock. I'm not from that generation.
No, you're not.
Not in the slightest.
And it's interesting. There seems as though there's some other people who are also not from that generation as well.
Are you going to get to that story right now
I just thought that we should mention that story, that Bob Dylan was detained in New York, a couple of hours south of New York, a couple of weeks ago, by the police. A 24-year-old policeman they were called because they saw this very bedraggled-looking person in shabby clothes walking down the street, and a resident called the police about it, and the police asked him who he was, and he said, my name's Bob Dylan. Yeah, they asked him for ID. He said, I don't have any ID. And they actually had to take him back to his hotel and spa. He was on a tour with Willie Nelson and a couple of other people, and the tour officials had to confirm his identity. The 24-year-old cop and her partner, who was also in his 20s, neither of them knew who Bob Dylan was. I think that's sad.
It's kind of sad, especially since they're my age, and even I know who Bob Dylan is. But the interesting thing is, even if you don't know who Bob Dylan is, you have to know who Bob Dylan's icon status is, you know, just generally who he is. And if you see a guy who looks disheveled and looks like he's from the 60s wandering down the street, and he says his name is Bob Dylan...
And how would he say it?
Yeah, like that. Yeah, we've got the Bob Dylan GPS on the show later on today, actually.
Maybe if we have
enough time, yep. we'll play some of the samples from this brand new device that is impossible to find.
In the meantime,
here is a guy I only just heard about today because I don't know anything about. So people who actually like Woodstock, feel free to fire a message salvo at me in Twitter later on. This is Country Joe McDonald. I feel like I'm fixing to die rag. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, come on, all of you big strong men. Uncle Sam need your help again. Got himself in a terrible jam way down yonder in Vietnam. Put down your books and pick up a gun. We're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn.
For Breakfast with a Difference, tune into Ian and Dee Dee's Breakfast Chill on 2RDJ every Monday from 7am to 9am, broadcasting live right after the BBC World Service.
Listen to a beautiful blend of New Age, meditation and reflection, as well as news talk, health and well-being, entertainment and some fun and games.
As a mix of music from hot to chilled, contemporary to classic.
Tune in and chill out every Monday from 7 to 9am, 2RDJ, 88.1 FM.
We'll put you in the mood.
It's the Gadget Grill here on Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. My name is Lee Stark, and over across the other side, doing some things he probably shouldn't be... Put that out, will you? Put that out!
Yes,
okay,
yes,
doing
yes.
Some things he probably shouldn't be doing is Gary yes. Stark. And if you're listening to us on one of those really cool...
It's a cigar, not a funny cigarette.
Well, it's definitely not funny. It's not making me laugh in the slightest.
Right.
If you're listening to us on one of those really cool old-fashioned devices with knobs and twisty things and an antenna, you're probably listening to us on a TV, and it's very strange because I didn't expect that. I was actually referring to a radio, so I'm very confused by that.
Exactly.
You can listen to us on 88.1, or you can do it on these new fandangled things with, they're called computers. They have giant tapes rolling around in big machines. Some of them even come with keyboards now. You can head to www.radio2rdj.com to hear us there. And if perhaps you're a little bit late and you want to wait a while, well, you can bury it in a time capsule and come back 40 years later and head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au where you can find this show and all of the other shows we've done. Was that cynical enough for this?
Oh, yeah. Let's get on with the news.
Let's get on. There's been a lot of really weird news this week.
There has indeed. The first story I've got is from San Leandro in California, where police stopped a man who was trying to sell an HD TV in a Walmart parking lot.
That doesn't seem like a terrible place to sell it. I mean, a Walmart is like a bit, is like a really, really big Kmart.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it wasn't actually an HD TV.
Oh.
It was a plastic-wrapped glass oven door with Sony and Best Buy stickers on it.
What did he do with the rest of the oven? Did he try to sell that as a heater or a cage to store people
in? He's suspected of trying to charge $100 for what appeared to be a 37-inch flat-screen TV.
Hmm.
He'd even stuffed electronic cables and a manual in the back.
I like the electronic cables. That's kind of cool. Yeah, you go hold that up to the microphone. What a fantastic TV that is. I wonder what would happen. I'm not getting reception on it. Meanwhile, this week, Sony, this upcoming week, Sony are going to be celebrating, can you believe this, the 25th anniversary of the original Ghostbusters movie.
My God.
And to be doing that, they're actually going to be letting people watch it for free on Sony's own YouTube thingy.
Be afraid. Be
player Crackle.
Afraid.
Now, here's the catch. First of all, we don't know if we're actually going to get it in Australia, so here we are. Great.
Here's a surprise.
You actually have to go to YouTube to find the link, and when you go there, you'll be directed to Sony to watch it through their player. Oh, and third, there will be ads in the middle of it, or throughout it, but you can at least watch it for free.
Wow. Sony doing something for free.
Interestingly, though, they're actually talking that they're going to develop Ghostbusters 3.
Okay.
The movie. So about that's kind of cool.
Time.
Yeah, it took him long enough.
Yeah. Yeah. How about, you know, that you've got an irreplaceable and old photo, and of course it can be destroyed by having a crease in the middle of it or anywhere.
I can repair that.
Well,
not like I'm advertising myself right there.
No. Well, so can HP now in their scanners. They've developed software in the scanner that takes a scan of the image from two different angles, and it can does the mathematics to calculate how the crease is affecting the image and basically takes the crease away from the image in the initial scan.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
That is quite interesting. Meanwhile, in China is doing something... China always have some weird things that they do.
China's doing something
like the massive firewall that I think they've recently just said no to.
The Great Firewall of China.
Exactly. And this time, they are actually thinking of imposing jail time for sexy messages. For instance, if I were to send you, Dad, the most horribly wrong message I could think of, like, I find you very sexy, which I don't. I don't find you very sexy at all. I'm sure someone
does.
Thank
goodness.
Yeah, I'm sure someone does. If I were to send you that and you were to get offended by that, if I send one message, I can get up to 5 days in prison. If I send up to three messages, so I get... Hold on. If I send up to three messages, I can get 10 days in prison. And there's actually a quote...
Well, basically what this means is that I can grab your phone, send myself some messages...
And put me in prison.
And get some respite from you.
If you have ever wondered... If you ever wanted a way to get me out of your house for a while... In fact, I think I might use that to get you out of the house when I need to go to party. Shame we're not living in China. Yeah. Of course, if we were, the Gadget Grill would probably be nowhere near as free as it is right now.
Right. I've got a couple of iPhone stories.
I've got a few iPhones as well.
Apple iPhone stories.
There's an Apple story every week. An Apple story a week keeps Apple away.
Yeah. First one is a new app for the iPhone.
Okay.
Copilot 8. $35.
Copilot 8? So what is it? It's a GPS?
GPS.
Oh, cheap. That's cheap.
$35 for GPS.
You going to buy it?
No, because apparently it's only America at the moment.
Oh, that's problematic.
America and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Canada.
And Canada? And Canada.
Canada. Yeah. Can I do this? Can I do that? The Sierra Sun. In Truckee, California, which is near Lake Tahoe, has a story about Apple shooting an ad at a diner called Jack's at the Tracks. They were shooting an ad for a new product.
Could this be the same product that Borders referred to this week?
Well, funny you should mention that because...
Borders Books and Music.
Borders Books and Music put out an email survey to their subscribers during the week, towards the end of this week, the end of last week. And it says, please tell us how familiar you are with the following digital reading devices. And it lists, I'm not familiar with the Amazon Kindle, I am familiar with the Amazon Kindle, blah, 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 blah. Go down the page. I plan to buy an Apple iPad large screen reading device this year.
And for those not keeping up with the current news, it looks like, based on some of the stuff that's come out of the past few weeks, Apple might be actually finally considering a tablet-like device that people have hoped for years now, and they're working in conjunction with a whole bunch of media companies and movie companies and book companies to pull this out. I've got a couple of Apple stories as well. Did you hear about the iPhone, which kind of went boom in France?
Yes, I did,
yeah,
yes.
A guy in France he heard his handset hissing, and then it went flying in the air, basically, and the screen shattered and blew up, and it's another one of those stories. The last one that happened occurred in the UK, and Apple tried to silence the family, from what I remember.
That is right.
Interestingly, another guy on the other side of the world in America, well, not really the other side of the world, is so pissed off at Apple, he took his iPhone 3GS, you can find this video on YouTube, it's quite funny, and he took a 9mm handgun out, and he fired several shots into it, and then burned it.
That sounds productive.
It's quite productive. It actually had me question, though, because the glass on the front almost felt to me like it was burning like plastic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Put your flash drive on lockdown.
My flash drive is always on lockdown.
A low-tech way...
Does this flash drive mean what I think it means?
Yes, it does, actually.
Oh, in that case, it probably doesn't. Oh.
A low-tech way to secure your flash drive. The flash
your flash drive?
Your flash drive. The flash drive lock uses a 3-digit combination to restrict access to the USB connector on your portable drive. It's a combination lock that fits over the end of your USB stick and apparently stops people from using it.
Wow, what an interesting idea. Meanwhile, okay, that's a little bit weird.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
I've got a story here about the...
Why don't you just encrypt your data?
Yeah, there's that. Video game people on the PS3, if you know the company Valve Software, who made Half-Life and Half-Life 2, and you were perhaps looking for the new Left 4 Dead game on the PlayStation 3, it looks like they're not going to go anywhere near it. From what I've heard in the past, the PlayStation 3 is not really an easy system to program for, so they're sort of like leaving you guys Left 4 Dead, so to speak.
Okay, the last item that I have... is one, this is going to come as a real shock to you, Lee. The OECD has just released its Mammoth Communications Outlook for 2009, which shows Australia being one of the most expensive countries for communication services.
Oh, gee, I'm so surprised.
In other words, Australia is amongst the highest in the world for broadband. Yeah. Gee, does that shock you?
No, it doesn't shock me at all. Does it say anything about our support levels? I mean, because right now I'm just not feeling the love.
No.
I'm not feeling the love at all. I got two minor news stories here. One is that the company Power Traveler, the people who made that, remember that Soul device we weren't too impressed with?
Well, we were impressed with the basic concept.
Impressed with the concept. It just didn't power our iPhone for as long as we expected. Well, it looks like the Mini Gorilla, the one for the netbooks and whatnot, is ready to go, and they're saying it will do about 6 hours of extra life. Who knows? But it's, who knows?
Yeah.
And in other news, a lady, it looks like this lady.
That was no lady, that was my wife.
A lady has developed a new fovea in her eye from gene therapy.
Wonderful, that's good.
That's really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah, this is reading here. It's like wearing several pairs of sunglasses in a dark room, says Arta Sidasigan, a researcher at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia who oversaw the trial. This is about a abnormal protein in sufferers' photoreceptors that limits their sensitivity to light.
Okay.
Interesting.
Today is August the 16th.
Is it?
It is.
Well, at least I know what date it is.
And that means that it is also, amongst other things, apart from the Woodstock anniversary, it's also the anniversary of the passing of the King.
Thank you very much.
And so...
That was bad of me.
His very first number one hit was Heartbreak Hotel.
You know, since my baby left me... Well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lone Street, that Heartbreak Hotel.
Check this out. You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
Hey, it's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the inner west Woodstock, the voice of the inner Woodstock.
Well, that's absolutely correct. We are in Woodstock.
The voice of the inner time machine, Woodstock. These buttons don't work. Right now we have a feature which we actually brought from the future, from today.
Yes. Yes. What the feature is today, of course, is on recording technology and how it's changed in the period since...
Has it changed?
It has changed quite a lot in the period since 1969 or thereabouts.
You spoke to someone about this, didn't you?
I spoke to a Sydney recording engineer, a gentleman by the name of Jeff Cripps from A-Sharp Studios, and let's have a listen to what Jeff and I had to say to one another about this.
Yeah, my name's Jeff Cripps. I've got a recording studio called A-Sharp Recording Studio. Website's asharp.com.au, and I record bands. I've done about 300 full-length CDs. Some of them on, in the bluesy vein, some of them in the Richie vein. I've also got a little band called Mississippi Shakedown.
Okay, mate. How long have you been doing recording for? I think you've been doing it for a little while, haven't you?
I used to be in a band called Old 55. Remember a Melbourne band called Old, actually a Sydney band, but they were very popular in Melbourne.
I remember the band quite well with Frankie J.
Yeah, that's it. So I joined them in the 80s when their main songwriter, Jimmy Mangia, had left. And Twisting by the Pool was a big song by Dire Straits. And the guys go, oh, we need a twisting song, you know. And I dabbled with playing a bit of guitar sort of from my first band, because as soon as I heard Elmore James, my first band was called Snake Pit when I was about 14. So the first band was called Snake Pit. And I heard Dust My Blues. And I said to the guitar player, what's that? He said, oh, it's Dust My Blues, Elmore James. I go, wow, how do you do that? And he showed me some slide guitar. And I go, wow. I was actually the drummer in the band, you know.
Right.
So it bit me so straight away. But so I wrote some sort of songs and this, that, and the other, and played a few live gigs. But when I joined Old 55, I had a few songs I've written. So they go, well, we need a twisting song. So I wrote a little song called My Little Sister the Twister. And we ended up doing it live on Hey Hey Sunday today. So it was really good.
Oh, cool, mate, cool.
Yeah, basically, I started writing more and more songs. You needed some sort of recording device. So a little four-track cassette thing was out happening at the day. Then I got a four-track, an eight-track, and 16-track. Now I got like 145-track. So it all just came from basically being an old 55 and needing them needing a songwriter, me writing songs and being able to record them, just the demos, you know.
Okay, well, let's start right there. You said you started with a four-track cassette player, and in fact, a lot of home studios still have them. I've got a Yamaha four-track cassette deck here that I've never been able to work out quite how to make work properly in terms of getting clean recordings. But be that as it may, back in the let's go way back, because of course it's the 40th anniversary last weekend of the Abbey Road photo shoot, and this coming weekend of Woodstock. And in those days, four track was the go. So tell us a little bit.
The 40th anniversary of the Allman Brothers Band too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I love the Allman Brothers. That's the 40th anniversary
good,
as well.
Good bloody musicians there, mate. So let's...
That's obviously, Sgt. Pepper's was recorded on 4-track, but don't forget, you can't regard 4-track as, it's only just 4-track. It was 4-track on 1-inch tape, don't forget. So you got a huge bit of real estate dedicated to each track. So it's 4-track, but it's a 1-inch tape. So that's why everything sounded so damn good, because you had a whole lot of tape there, and I can leave the tape players, like, so I never think that the tape recorders or the microphones or anything on the desks are better today than they were in the 60s. That they're not necessarily.
Right. Well, with 4-track, with the real estate, of course, you're also running at 15 inches per second, which gives you more real estate coverage and less noise and better quality as well, of course, doesn't it?
That's right. I mean, you listen to those things, and sometimes when you're getting remastered by someone decent, like some of those... The new some of the Elvis CDs have been remastered by RCA and they've been remixed on the original gear, and man, they're just fantastic, like just outrageously good, you know.
Yeah. So you started off on 4-track, and of course you'd end up recording 4 discrete tracks. And would you start off recording 4 discrete tracks and bounce them down to 1, or would you start off recording 3 and bounce down to 1?
Well, you got 3 down to 1. See, what I'd normally do, I was living in the flat at the time, so when I wrote a song, I had a kit of drums down the garage with 2 microphones on it, and I'd put 2 microphones on the drums, and that like 2 takes the song before the bloke upstairs would come down and get me out because he was a night worker, or people would complain. So I had like 2 takes of a song before people could complain. So I really had to get the song in my head really good and get it together. I can, okay, 2 microphones, get some levels with 3 hits of the drums, and then away I go for 7 minutes, and that was it. In any case, now, so you put bass on, so that's your 2 mics on the drums, 1 on bass, and then when you mix those 3 tracks down, while you were doing that, you would add a rhythm guitar or an acoustic guitar, and if you're really smart and go down to your Tandy store, you could get a microphone splitter, so you might get the wife or the boyfriend or the girlfriend out the back doing a tambourine, so you'd have two tracks of mics, 2 tracks of drums, 1 bass being sort of mixed down to 4, but you could also mix. You could also record onto 4 at the same time, which I used to do with the guitar.
Okay.
And if you're smart, you get someone else playing tambourine. So on that one track, you'd have drums, bass, rhythm guitar, and tambourine. And you know what? If you got it wrong, like later on in the song, if you got it wrong, you had to go back to scratch and do it again. So
absolutely.
You know, it's like, no, but if you found out later, when you're doing the vocals or the other guitars or the whatever, it's a bass drum, it's too loud, too soft, it's too late, you can't do anything about it.
Well,
you're done.
Yeah, it's back to square one and start it again, absolutely.
That's right. Yeah,
okay, so from 4-track we went to what, 8-track?
Yep. Actually, in the early 60s they had, some of the best recordings was on 3-track, it seems odd, but the Count Basie Orchestra with Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin, all those recordings in the late 50s, early 60s were actually on 3-track. You'd often have a whole band on one track, and then the singers and sort of harps something on the second track, maybe strings on the second track, and then the centre track was for your vocal.
Right. Did you find it the transition from 4 to 8 and beyond easy or hard? What did you notice?
I just all these dials. It just sort of, well, it freed you up to a point. But now I find when someone says to me, "Oh, I can just mix those 2 guitars together," I'd have just a look of terror. Like, no, couldn't possibly, like, because you're so, and you go, like, I've got 24 track plus other things now, but, I mean, you're so unused to it these days that you're sort of, to mix something like you did in the old days, actually brings, like, a look of terror because you just don't do it very often, you know.
One of the things that I find today, of course, is that every man and his dog has got a recording studio in their bedroom or on their living room. But that doesn't mean that they necessarily should have one, or B, that they know how to actually use it, and C, that they've actually got talent, that that they're actually able to make something that sounds reasonably decent, does it?
Well, all the stuff I'm saying now is going to sound like sort of vested interest, because I own a recording studio, I am a producer, and I've got a band, whatever. But the thing that's lacking now, like, because everybody has their own home studio, like or a mate's got an even bigger studio, it's the producer that's missing. So when you've got a band, like back in the old days, the record companies had complete authority over the bands, whatever, and a band would come in and go, okay, here's the song, and the producer would go, yeah, okay, that's not bad. Well, just like I'm doing tonight, I've got these bands tonight, and there's one section of the song that just needs fleshing out, because the song doesn't quite rock out for any particular time. I said the band needs to rock out, and I go and adjust a few drum fills, and I think I've changed the key of it, because the singer was singing too low, you know. So I said, mate, put a capo on it. Now, that's what a producer does, whereas a band doesn't do those things, because they don't have the... Well, that's fantastic. They don't have the experience or anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
But the first thing that sort of goes when you have a Pro Tools session is the producer, like, and that's the guy that makes the songs the hits that they are.
That's like you, because you're the producer.
Yeah, yeah. Without a decent producer, the show is absolute crap.
Yeah, and
which explains this show
because it's great all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We've got more of Jeff Cripps coming up in a few minutes, because he did have a lot of interesting stuff to say.
No, you just didn't know how to condense it all into one small track, did you?
Well, there was just so.
And
much
you call yourself stuff. A good producer.
Yeah. But he did mention, of course, that it's the 40th anniversary also of the Allman Brothers Band.
Who?
All the Allman Brothers Band, Greg and Dwayne Allman.
You're such
others.
A rambling man. Stop rambling, will you?
Yeah.
Radio 1.1, Radio 2 RDJ, this is the Gadget Grill, continuing on with our little story that's actually turned up to be a little big story about how technology has sort of progressed from Woodstock today.
Yeah, how recording technology.
Music technology, yeah.
Yeah, it's changed. So let's continue with listening to Jeff Cripps from A-Sharp Studios.
Absolutely.
The other big change that's happened over the time that you've been working in this industry, of course, is the change from analog music to digital music, you know, analog recording to digital recording. My own personal preference is, of course, that analog has a certain warmth to its sound, and digital, it's very difficult to explain, and I've got friends who don't understand it, and I certainly can't explain what the difference is, but I certainly do prefer listening to something on vinyl than I do listening to... MP3s or WMAs or something like that. How has that change affected you? How has that change from analog to digital affected the recording industry?
Okay, I'm probably going to sound like an old fart again, but I will say on my side that it is universally accepted by anyone who knows, and the argument is no longer an argument, but the sort of analog sounds better than digital. There's absolutely no argument on that. I think generally for a rock band, drums and guitars absolutely need to be analog. I think the difference between sort of vocals and bass and maybe keyboards, whatever, is probably not quite as stark. I think sort of most brass instruments do sound better analog. But also, I think these days, like AC/DC, those sort of bands, whatever, they would always record in an analog studio. They might go to analog tape, or they might even go to digital. But I know the last John Butler CD, or the band one, but they went to digital because they wanted the editing capabilities, but they put everything through an analog path before going to that, like a serious analog path before going to the digital, which is fine, you know.
And that way,
I remember when digital first came out, a guy came in, he had like an 8-track or 16-track, 8-track digital, whatever, and then I tried to mix it like on my analog disc, and I couldn't grab hold of it, like about a dozen people that year bought me these recordings, and for some reason I just couldn't grab hold of them to mess them. Into something. It just, I don't know, it's like sort of plasticine, it just wouldn't go, whatever. And that's kind of what digital is. Having said that, I've got Pro Tools in my studio, like I record the hard disk off a big old analog disk. But man, the manipulation and the editing is just fantastic. It's like, I mean, you can't get back. I can understand how people went to Pro Tools and just didn't go back. Because if you've got an artist coming in, whatever, and they've got, look, it was a big singer, like, you know, Pink or something, and they've got 2 hours to spare before they've got to go to Europe for the next tour or something like that, comes in, does four takes of a vocal, okay, bye, later, see you later, you know, then the vocal's done, the producer can manipulate it and get a good vocal, and, you know, so it's really, really handy from a business point of view, you know. But that's probably artistic, it's just probably not such a great thing. Right, well, it is what it is, you know.
Right, now, you said something very interesting a few moments ago about...
I hope so. I hope I said something interesting 10 minutes ago, Gary. Just 1 minute ago. No. We've been talking for a quarter of an hour. I hope I've said more than one thing interesting, but maybe I haven't.
The one thing that particularly caught my ear, though, was when you said about how guitar and drums and bass and guitar are better off recorded analog rather than digital. And that takes me back to stage sound as well, where we compare back in the 60s, 70s and 80s, where we were using valve amps and everything was valve, and then we started going to all the solid states, not digital, but that's solid state. And now everybody wants to go back to pure analog, pure valve amps again for the various tones that they can get out of them, and that's particularly true of people who are playing guitar or people who are playing if you're playing the upright bass.
That argument is over too. There's just no way, except for a young player or some guy with a vested interest or some bloody idiot. But the best sounding amp absolutely is a valve, and there is no doubt about that whatsoever.
Everything old is new again. Jeff's saying that the older stuff is better than a lot of the new stuff in a lot of ways. And the technology, while it's advanced, is not necessarily progress.
I remember hearing something from one of our favourite jazz violinists, or violinists in general, Nigel Kennedy, and he made the reference to something. They're saying basically that, you know, you spend more, you want a violin that's older because it has a better sound than a new one. If you get a new one, you have to basically break it in for years and years. And I guess it's similar to an oak barrel that stores wine. The older barrel will make the wine taste better.
The barrel, of course, the more it's used, it builds up the flavour of the different wines.
It's probably like that with amps as well.
Yep. Now, it's appropriate this week as well that we talk about the technology. Sadly, during the week, we lost... Les Paul at age 94. We couldn't find him. No. He passed on. And Les Paul, of course, was a leader and an inventor in technology.
You can thank him for most of the guitars that are out there.
There's a lot of Les Pauls, and there would have been definitely some Les Pauls at Woodstock back in 1969. But way back in the 1950s, Les Paul pioneered multi-track recording, which is a lot of where a lot of the technology that we just heard from Jeff Cripps came from. So first of all, thank you, Jeff Cripps. Thank you, Les Paul. This is Les Paul and Mary Ford. 12 guitars, 12 vocal tracks, and 2 people. How high the moon?
Somewhere there's music.
Radio 2 RDJ. This is the last moments of the Gadget Grill. I guess we should hit that magic switch on our time machine to take us back to the present.
Yeah, but it's only temporary. Cause
it didn't really do anything. I guess we were never there. Yeah.
People may be asking how come it's the last minutes when we've still got 9.5 minutes to go. It's because we have a rather long song to finish off with.
You have a rather long song. Yeah. Thanks for that.
Momentarily.
I think I actually preferred the jazz version of How High the Moon, to be honest.
Well, there are so many different versions of it, you know, because you've got Frank who does it so beautifully and Ella. But that is just, I just love the way that he finishes that. There's a clip on YouTube at the moment of that, and it is with Alastair Cook, and it is well worth watching. Do a search on Google for Les Paul, Alastair Cook, and you'll find it, I'm sure.
Well, how much time do we have?
We've got about just under a minute.
Is that enough time to pull out the Bob Dylan GPS?
Very, very quickly.
Very quickly. I'm just going to pull it out. Dad, type in where you want to go.
Let's go to Woodstock.
That's kind of difficult. Can you give me a location that's actually useful?
Okay, Woodstock, upstate New York.
Upstate New York, right. That apparently means go left.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. This was provided to us by the good fictional people at Invisible Gadgets Co. For your invisible gadgets you that don't exist, contact them. Wow, yeah. That was really bad.
That was that was the normal. But that brings us to the end of today's show. I am Gary Stark.
Liz Stark.
And we'll be back on 2RDJFM 88.1 next Sunday night with some more of the Gadget Grill for you.
And we're ending the show. We have some Joe Cocker, because we need a little help from one of our friends, and this is what the track is, basically.
Yeah, this is absolutely an iconic performance.
I've never heard this before.
Haven't you? Oh, this is brilliant. This is how... This
I think I actually ignored you playing it earlier just so I could hear it today.
He has made this song his own. Joe Cocker, the Beatles song, with a little help from my friends.
We'll see you next week, Australia.